Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, November 20th, 2020. We'll start today's reading on the front page with Creating a Buzz. French company announces plan to construct world's largest insect protein facility in Decatur. There is never a bad time for a company to announce plans to construct the largest manufacturing facility of its kind in your community, but Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf said the decision by InnovaFeed, a French company, to do just that is especially welcome amid the chaos of the coronavirus pandemic. As we all know, this is anything but normal, which makes this announcement so much bigger, so much more substantial, and so much more important, Moore Wolf said during a news conference to share details about the company's plans. This is hope. It is growth, Moore Wolf said. It is our first opening door toward economic recovery after the pandemic. It is a whole new boost of confidence that things are going to get better. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. InnovaFeed said Thursday that it is partnering with Archer Daniels Midland Company to build the world's largest insect protein facility in Decatur. The plant will cover 250,000 square feet upon completion and cost about $18 million to build. The plant will be built on land on the east side of Brush College Road, south of Richland Community College. The first phase of construction will begin in late 2021 with a planned completion and opening in 2023. Phase one will create 140 jobs with a total of 280 jobs anticipated once phase two is also up and running. InnovaFeed expects to fill the jobs with local residents and will look for engineers, technicians, and research and development professionals. InnovaFeed already operates two insect production facilities in France, including what is today the world's largest InnovaFeed InnovaFeed creates oils and insect-based feed for animals like fish from soldier flies that they breed and process. Every part of the insect is used so there is no waste. The oil is used in feed for poultry and swine. The feces is used as an organic fertilizer, and the protein meal is fed to fish in aquaculture operations. The new facility will be capable of producing 500,000 metric tons per year of total product. 60,000 metric tons of that protein meal. At ADM, one of the ways we fulfill our purpose of providing nutrition to the world is by finding great partners like InnovaFeed who are innovative, said Chris Cuddy, Senior Vice President. We try to support them with infrastructure, research and development, and in some cases even funding to bring new products to the market the fastest and most efficient way. InnovaFeed CEO and co-founder Clement Ray said the company considered five or six other sites in other states before settling on Decatur and chose Decatur because of ADM. The plant in Decatur is ADM's largest, and ADM byproducts can be used in the production of the insect protein. One benefit is that the relationship will reduce carbon emissions by 80%, said Sapna Sanders, project manager strategic partnership at InnovaFeed. Complementary infrastructure will allow ADM to directly provide corn byproducts to supply InnovaFeed's innovative insect rearing process, as well as waste, heat, and steam. InnovaFeed's decision to bring their first ever international facility and state-of-the-art agriculture technology to Illinois is a vote of confidence for our state and a win for our farming communities, said Governor J.B. Pritzker. Illinois has always been a global leader in agriculture and technology, and we offer the resources to support this major international expansion. With an educated workforce Proximity to global businesses like ADM and access to shipping and logistics. The investment InnovaFeed is making in Decatur will not only support our thriving agriculture industry, a cornerstone of our economy, but will unlock new well-paying jobs for our communities. Having spent the past 15 months building relationships and helping to bring a project of this scope to fruition, Nicole Bateman said Thursday's announcement feels a little extra special. Bateman, who is the president of the Economic Development Corporation of Decatur-Macon County, is confident that there are other opportunities like this to be had. "We have all the assets in place," Bateman said, noting ongoing efforts to work with existing companies to attract supplies who might benefit from being closer or taking advantage of innovative collaboration like the one involving ADM and InnovaFeed. The Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity and the Illinois WorkNet Center will partner with InnovaFeed to develop recruiting strategies as well as on-the-job training programs. DCEO also partnered with InnovaFeed through an EDGE agreement to support this large-scale capital investment. Locally, InnovaFeed will benefit from the Decatur-Macon County Enterprise Zone and customized incentive opportunities from the City of Decatur and the EDC. Decatur City Manager Scott Wrighton said that the city's incentives would be voted upon at the City Council's December 7th meeting. The city is fast-tracking the process to smooth the path as much as possible, he said. And the photos that accompany this, the main one is a huge, huge black soldier fly. And then there's a picture of Archer Daniel Midland's company plant as viewed from Reese Bridge Road in Decatur. The area near Reese Bridge and Brush College Road was announced Thursday as the site of a new insect protein facility that will be owned and operated by InnovaFeed and will co-locate with ADM's Decatur Corn Processing Complex. Construction is targeted to begin in 2021, pending necessary permitting and approvals. And then the third picture that accompanies this is a little creepy. It shows kind of these larva. That's the word. A pile of larva in and out of this substance. COVID. Local, state. Some schools shift gears after Macon County plea. 8 more deaths seen locally. State reports 168 fatalities. Decatur. With the rising numbers of COVID-19 cases, the Macon County Health Department has appealed to schools who are holding in-person classes to shift to fully remote learning until January 15th. Both the Lutheran School Association and Decatur Christian School have opted to shift to fully remote learning after offering in-person classes throughout most of the fall semester. Decatur Christian will take an extended Thanksgiving break the week of November 23rd through the 27th, with remote learning beginning on November 30th until Christmas break, which starts December 18th. We are firmly committed to on-site instruction teaching at Decatur Christian, but we also understand the responsibility to make decisions for the protection and health and safety of our students, families, and community at large, said the Reverend Steve Holm. The LSA has had an average of 40 students absent on any given day for COVID-19 related reasons, said Executive Director Joel Witt, and the decision is to shift to remote learning with plans to return to classrooms on January 19th. In a letter to LSA families, Witt reminded them that throughout the last several months, their school family has supported each other and have been alone together. I pray that we all take time to look at a faithful God who continues to stand with his people at all times and all circumstances, Witt wrote, even in the midst of a pandemic. Local health officials made the plea earlier in the week as the number of positive cases and deaths continues to rise in the county. Governor J.B. Pritzker has since announced the entire state will be placed under Tier 3 mitigations starting on Friday. Today. On Thursday, Illinois public health officials reported 168 coronavirus-related deaths, the most in a single day since the height of the disease's spring surge in mid-May. In all, there have been 11,178 COVID-19-related deaths since the pandemic began. Included on the state's list of COVID-19 fatalities are 8 Macon County residents, which brings the county's total to 103 since March. They were identified as 3 men in their 60s, 2 men in their 70s, a man and a woman in their 80s, and a woman in her 90s. Local health officials also announced 98 new positive cases on Thursday, bringing the county's total to 5,701. Decatur Public Schools had already decided to remain fully remote, as they have been since the initial shutdown in March. Sangamon Valley Schools had already planned to be fully remote until December 7th, said Superintendent Bob Meadows in a statement, and said that that is still the plan. Mount Zion schools are fully remote also. Moroa Forsyth middle and high schools are already fully remote with plans to return to blended learning after the Thanksgiving holiday, said high school principal Bryce Stewart. The decision was made before the letter was sent out by the Macon County Health Department. Stewart said no further decision has yet been made, though meetings are planned for discussing it, he added. Warrensburg Latham and Argenta Oriana plan to continue with their current plans of blended, remote, and in-person learning, monitoring the situation in their communities and preparing to change course if necessary. We will continue to monitor how we are staffing our classrooms and schools on a daily basis, said Superintendent Damian Jones of Argenta Oriana. We will continue to record the number of students who are COVID positive and those who are in quarantine if we are unable to maintain staffing levels that ensure students and staff safety. A decision to move to remote learning for a period of time will occur. If the majority of our students are receiving remote instruction, we would also consider moving to remote learning. Because St. Patrick's School has small classes, said Principal Nick Blackburn, they are able to space students a safe distance apart and they require masks. They plan to continue meeting in person. The school serves 170 students in pre-kindergarten through 8th grade. We want to keep the kids in the best routine we can, said Blackburn. We're going to try to make it through. And the photos that accompany this show Oak Grove School faculty members collect iPads to give out Friday to their students. The iPads are being picked up by appointment and will be used by the students for remote learning. And we see a table full of the iPads waiting to be picked up. And teachers in the background getting things ready, materials ready for students to pick up. And then another photo, Joanna Bales leads her 5th grade class down a hallway on Wednesday at Lutheran School Association in Decatur. School systems are holding a mix of in-person and remote learning because of COVID-19. In more local and state news on page A3, Tree of Honor. Family decorates tree in memory of fallen military members. Decatur. Those visiting the Decatur Civic Center this holiday season will be treated to a special Christmas tree in its lobby, meant to honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. Adorned in red, white, and blue ornaments, the Fallen Heroes Tree of Honor displays the names of servicemen and women who died while serving their country. Nearly 300 ornaments can be seen on the local tree. They wanted to give back and do something to honor the many Illinois fallen service members, Teresa Palmer said about the organizers. The 9-foot tree is sponsored by America's Gold Star Families, a group made up of families who have lost a loved one while he or she was serving in the military. The Fallen Heroes Tree of Honor Christmas tree will be at the Decatur Civic Center lobby until January. The local ornaments were made by Dynagraphics Incorporated in Decatur. Other fallen hero trees will be displayed at Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington and the Peoria Riverfront Museum, although the one at the museum is being displayed because of the state of COVID-19 restrictions that will cause the museum to close. The trees were provided by the Sergeant Anthony Maddox Memorial Fund. In the past, ceremonies were held to bring attention to the trees and their importance to the community and families. Local and state representatives, military officers, and Gold Star family members were invited to speak. Although there will be no ceremony this year because of COVID-19 restrictions, members of the Palmer family carefully organized the ornaments on tables before adding them to the tree. One of the ornaments has the name of Teresa Palmer's son, Navy Petty Officer Second Class Logan Palmer, who died August 21, 2017, at the age of 23. He was one of 10 sailors lost on the warship USS John McCain after a collision with a tanker near Singapore. His mother made sure his fallen shipmates were also honored on the Decatur Christmas Fallen Heroes Tree. The Palmer family has participated in presenting the Fallen Heroes Tree of Honor for 3 years. This can be a difficult time, said Madison Wrigley, Logan Palmer's sister, but it is something we can do to honor him and those that have fallen. Along with his mother, sister, and aunt, Logan Palmer's grandmother, Martha Palmer, was part of the decorating team. I think it's great that they're doing it, she said. Each ornament includes the name, rank, branch, date of birth and date of death, and state of the fallen servicemen and women. Service members' ornaments from 40 states and various conflicts hang among other patriotic decorations. We have one from the Civil War, Teresa Palmer said. And the photos that accompany this show a small one with an ornament hanging on the tree that says military family and another one with a star. I can't read what it says. Ornaments bearing the names of fallen military members adorn the Fallen Hero Tree in honor in the lobby of Decatur Civic Center. And to submit Gold Star ornaments, to submit the name of a fallen service member for future Gold Star Family Tree of Honor ornaments, visit America's Gold Star Families, that's all one word, americasgoldstarfamilies.org. And the larger photo shows three people decorating the tree. Teresa Palmer is in the center, Martha Palmer left, decorate the Fallen Hero Tree of Honor during a dedication ceremony on Thursday at the Decatur Civic Center. The annual event takes place for Gold Star families, friends, and the community to honor our heroes. A formal ceremony will not take place, but the organization continues to host the decorated trees, which include approximately 300 handcrafted ornaments of military servicemen and women who gave their lives in the defense of our nation. Pritzker to Madigan, answer or step aside. Governor J.B. Pritzker on Thursday put his own pressure on House Speaker Michael Madigan, saying the Democratic leader needs to answer questions from the press and the public or else resign. The governor's comments during his daily COVID-19 briefing in Chicago came one day after federal prosecutors in Chicago handed down indictments against four former Commonwealth Edison officials, charging them with bribery and conspiracy in a scheme to win Madigan's favor for legislation benefiting the company. If Speaker Madigan wants to continue in a position of enormous public trust with such a serious ethical cloud hanging over his head, then he has to, at the very least, be willing to stand in front of the press and the people and answer every last question to their satisfaction, Pritzker said. Written statements and dodged in investigatory hearings are not going to cut it. If the speaker cannot commit to that level of transparency, then the time has come for him to resign as speaker. The indictments charge four people: Michael McLean, a former legislator and close Madigan ally who later worked as a lobbyist at ComEd, former ComEd CEO Ann Pramaggiore, former company executive John Hooker, and Jay Doherty, a lobbyist who worked on contract for ComEd, with conspiring to award no work jobs, internships, and lobbying contracts to Madigan Associates in order to gain his support for favorable legislation. That included measures that relaxed the state's rate regulation process and provided ratepayer-funded subsidies for two nuclear power plants owned by ComEd's parent company, Exelon. Madigan himself has not been charged, and he issued a lengthy statement Thursday reiterating his longstanding denial of any wrongdoing. Madigan has served as House Speaker for all but 2 years since 1983 and is currently the longest-serving state legislative speaker in U.S. history. He's also expected to seek another term as speaker when the General Assembly reconvenes in January. But his support within the ranks of House Democrats has been eroding since he was first implicated in the bribery scheme in July, when company officials entered a deferred prosecution agreement that included paying a $200 million fine. As of Thursday afternoon, according to several media reports, he appeared to be short of the 60 votes needed to secure another term as speaker. At the same time, though, no other Democrat appeared to be close to winning a margin either. Representative Stephanie Kifowit, a Democrat of Oswego, is the only other announced candidate for the job, but she has attracted little vocal support from other Democrats so far. Pritzker would not offer any comment about who he thinks should be the next speaker, and he said he had not spoken to Democratic lawmakers since the indictments were released Wednesday night. I've maintained from the beginning that legislators have the right to make their own decisions about who leads them, and I continue to feel that way, he said. These legislators alone hold the unique power to elect the Illinois Speaker, and I trust that they will be thinking long and hard about the duties that they owe to the people that we all work for. Prior to Thursday, Pritzker had tried to keep some distance from the controversy, at first saying only that Madigan should resign if the allegations are proved true. Man denies using victim's gun in robbery. Scott pleads not guilty to armed robbery, firearm charges, Decatur. Catonius R. Scott is pleading not guilty to charges he robbed a victim of his own gun and used it to hold the man at gunpoint while he made his getaway. A sworn affidavit from Decatur police said that Scott appeared to have second thoughts about the crime later and called the victim up to say, "I didn't mean to get down like that," and then offered the victim cannabis as compensation. The affidavit said police officers were listening to the call on speakerphone the whole time. Scott, 27, appeared in Macon County Circuit Court on Wednesday for a preliminary hearing and denied committing armed robbery, aggravated unlawful use of a firearm, and being a felon in possession of a weapon. Decatur Police Officer Jacob Stewart gave evidence and referred to the sworn affidavit, which said the robbery happened August 22nd. In the 600 block of South Oakland Avenue. Scott was described as being the back seat passenger in a vehicle with the victim, aged 34, who was a front seat passenger. Also in the car was the victim's 3-year-old son and the victim's 29-year-old friend, who was driving. Questioned by First Assistant Macon County State's Attorney Nicole Kroenke, Stewart described Scott as lunging forward and grabbing the victim's 9mm semi-automatic handgun, which was next to his seat and the vehicle's center console. Scott then produced a handgun of his own and used both of them to keep everyone covered as he climbed out of the car and made his escape. The sworn affidavit said the robbery was captured on surveillance video from a nearby store. The back driver's side door abruptly opens and Cotoniest is seen walking backwards and westbound through the 600 block of South Oakland while holding 2 firearms that were pointed directly at the occupants of the car, the affidavit said. The phone call and the cannabis offer came shortly after the robbery, as police were still interviewing the victim and the driver, according to the affidavit. Defense attorney Dave Ellison double-checked the store location of the surveillance video before asking Stewart, "Was the only thing taken in the robbery a handgun?" Stewart replied, "As far as I know, yes." Judge Phoebe Bowers found probable cause to try Scott on all charges and scheduled a pretrial hearing for December 29th. He remains in custody of the Macon County Jail with a bail set at $150,000, meaning he must post $15,000 to be released. Police say no injuries after gunshots fired during chase. Decatur. Police say gunshots were fired at a detective during pursuit Wednesday night. Decatur Police Sergeant Chris Copeland said detectives saw suspects in a white sedan fire several gunshots at an apartment around 8:20 p.m. in the 700 block of East Orchard Street. The vehicle then took off at a high rate of speed, and detectives who were in plain clothes and driving unmarked covert vehicles followed while broadcasting the location and description of patrol units, Copeland said. Copeland said the suspects fired numerous gunshots at one of the detectives while the vehicles were eastbound and on Condit Street and near the railroad overpass in the 800 block to 22nd Street. None of the rounds hit the vehicle and no injuries were reported, but several casings were recovered along the route, Copeland said. Police did not fire any weapons back, he said. He said detectives lost sight of the vehicle in the area east of 22nd Street and weren't able to locate it again. Anyone with information can call Crime Stoppers at 217-423-8477. Again, that's area code 217-423-8477. Safety patrols to step up for holiday week. Decatur. Police are reminding Decatur residents to buckle up and drive sober while traveling for the Thanksgiving holiday. Drivers can expect to see an increase in safety patrols beginning Friday and going through the holiday weekend until the morning of November 30th, according to a Thursday statement from the Decatur Police Department. On regular days and holidays alike, law enforcement too often sees the results of driving impaired and not wearing a seatbelt, said Sergeant Steve Hagemeyer in the statement. They are both tragic and preventable. Whether you're driving cross-country or across the street, please remember to wear your seatbelt and make a plan for sober ride home. The press release says impaired driving is a factor in more than 30% of fatal crashes in Illinois, and data showing that drug use while driving is increasing. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated November 20th, 2020. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.